I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Randy Youngblood. I'm lead pastor. And I also want to take a moment to say hello to those who are watching online, because we know people watch several times online before they come here. And there are people that will that are watching today that will be with us eventually. And so we're so looking forward to that moment. I want to start by telling you a story. There's a moment that I had forgotten about. I think it was one of those repressed memories, actually. But when I started working on this message, on this text, it came back to haunt me. And oh, how I wish at a time in college, sitting at McDonald's with my friend Eric, that I would have started by asking a question instead of speaking. You ever have those moments where you speak too soon and maybe you should have listened first? Well, this was one of those moments for me. It was college, and Eric and I were sitting at McDonald's, and I began to tell him about my interest in a girl that I wanted to date. I told him why I wanted to date her, why I thought we'd hit it off really well, and then the conversation went other directions, and then lunch was over. Well, by the grace of God, I learned before I asked her out that she had just become his girlfriend. So that's a Bible college. He was very gracious and quiet about that. So he just kept letting me put the shoe leather in my own mouth. But oh, how I wish how that lingering embarrassment would have not been there if I had listened instead of talked. There's so many of those moments. I remember another moment where an emotion came out. I was at Starbucks, instead of being concerned about the frustration that the baristas were having that day, all I could think about was the time it was costing me. And you know how it is. You ever have the feeling where you think, well, you judge your own righteousness by what you didn't say but what you were thinking? And what I was thinking was worse than what I said, so I was giving myself credit for suppressing that. But I guess something leaked out, because after I left, I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me and say, Randy, you need to go back and apologize. And so the next day I went back, and of course, the Holy Spirit led me, and the barista was there, and I just went up, and you know what you've heard me say so many times, I'm so sorry, I was wrong for the way that I let my frustration, that I expressed my frustration when I was in here yesterday. Will you please forgive me? And she said, yes, and I used to go to your church. I think, oh my goodness. Can never be anonymous anymore. My wife tells me that I need to realize that. But she did say, I used to go to your church when you had Saturday services, and I'll come back when you start them up again. And she did. So, oh my goodness. But once again, there was that emotion that just kind of seeped out, and how I wish I had taken another tact and asked about how their day was going and ministered to them instead of just thinking it was all about me. I'm so excited about the scripture that we have to look at today, because I think it has the opportunity to transform, to make a difference in relationships. It would have saved me some embarrassing moments, and I think it can do the same for you. Are you struggling with finding work? This scripture may speak to that today. You think that there's a friendship that's not quite as close as it used to be, but you don't know why. This scripture may be the reason. So let's look at what the Bible has to say and see what God has to say. We're in the series called Secret Sauce. And what we've been doing with Secret Sauce is each week, as we let God live through us, when we let God have more control of our lives and live through us, He's going to come out in our relationships. And our relationships that we're going to look at every week are going to get healthier. Every week, there's a new ingredient we've looked at. So far, we've looked at service, where we have an attitude of serving others. We have, last week we talked about humility, and this week it's genuine concern. And so let's look at what the scripture has to say about concern. And we're going to take from the New Testament letter by James in chapter 1. And James writes this. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters," which means he's writing to believers in Jesus Christ. And he says, "take note of this." And when he says that, he just says, what I'm going to say is very important. And he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I thought about this like a three-horse race. Who comes out of the gate first? We've got the anger horse, we've got the listening horse, and we've got the speaking horse. So who usually comes out of the gate first in your horse race? Oftentimes it's anger, isn't it? And it's so easy as human beings to think everything's about us, to look at others and see what they're doing, to look at the expression on their face and to reflect it back, that what they're really saying is, what they're really expressing is something about me that they just don't have the guts to say, and I know what it is. When there's a situation, there's a tendency to impose our own self-view on others and to reflect it back, and assuming someone is unfriendly when the reality is they're just in pain and they don't know you or I are there at all. But what happens when the anger horse is the first one out of the gate? What happens to listening? Oftentimes when anger takes over, the ears go shut, or if they're open at all, it's just to be selective. The filters go into place so I can gain enough information to fuel my anger and to win this argument. So when the anger horse takes over, we don't listen well. When the anger horse takes over, what happens to the words we speak? It makes a difference, doesn't it? When the anger horse is the first one out of the gate, he influences the words that are spoken and not for the better. So oftentimes it's the anger horse that's the first one out of the gates. Oftentimes it's the speaking horse. And we can mean well. Guys, we're especially susceptible to the speaking horse because as soon as somebody comes up with a problem, you and I can start going into solution mode. Unless you've been married for a while and you've been retrained, it's just natural to want to go into solution mode. And it can be because we have good intentions. We want to help. I want to help. I'm going to compress this time and as quickly as possible give you a solution to save your time and mine. But oftentimes, it's really impatience, not wanting to take the time to listen more than is necessary. And necessary is determined by how long it takes for me to get a solution. So a solution comes to mind. Bam, here it is. We're done. Aren't you happy with me? And then when the response comes back, less than happy, we say, what's wrong? What's wrong? What do you expect from me? Well, James says that this horse race is important because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Do you agree with that? I agree with that. Because even though I pray that my heart would break over the things that break yours, there's still a gap. I still am not convinced that I'm angry at everything God's angry about, and I'm not convinced that God's angry about everything I'm angry about. And when I'm not sure about that, that horse needs to stay tied up. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires, and I'm even less confident that when I do express my anger, that it's the same as the way God would express his. There was something really interesting to me when I thought about who wrote these verses, when I thought about it being James. And we've been impressed with the transforming work of Jesus in our series Confident and Unashamed. We looked at John, how he was the brash son of thunder who became in his old age the apostle of love, and how Jesus just transformed his heart in those 3 years they were together, and he was changed the rest of his life into the apostle of love. We looked at Peter, who was brash, who was arrogant, who saw himself better than the others. He thought, yeah, they may let you down, but I never will. I'll die for you, Jesus. And then he denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed in the morning. Well, what was it that transformed Peter into that kind of person, into the apostle of humility and faithfulness through suffering? It's Jesus. And yet, as impressive as the work of Jesus in the life of John and Peter, I think it's even more impressive in the life of James. Let me tell you who this James is. He's the one who said, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He was the one that they were referring to when they were talking about Jesus, and Jesus came to his hometown, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? And let me tell you, it wasn't a wow moment. It was, this is strange. Because is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? and hear his name, are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas with us? And are not all of his sisters with us as well? On another occasion, it was recorded Jesus was inside a house teaching, and his family, it didn't say which of his family, but it said his family was outside, and they went in to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. Now, I don't think it's fair to say that was Mary. I think that may be a stretch to imply that Mary had gone from the woman that the Holy Spirit chose and who said, let it be as for me as you have said. But I think it's really fair to say it's his brothers. Because, and by the way, I don't know how, you know, about your theology, but since you're here instead of somewhere else, I think I can guess. Mary and Joseph had other kids. And that was part of the reason why people in his hometown had a hard time believing that Jesus was someone else, someone special from another place, when he had other siblings who they knew. Now, even his own brothers didn't believe him. Now, I imagine this, and I know this is conjecture, but bear with me and see if it's fair. I imagine that there were times when James, and he may have been the second oldest, can you imagine what it'd be like to grow up in the house with Jesus? I mean, you may have had an older brother who thought he was Jesus, but to actually have had an older brother who was Jesus, that's kind of over the top. And I imagine that he got tired of the questions. Hey, why aren't you more like Jesus? Or, hey, did you see what Jesus did? Or, hey, you know, people are saying that Jesus might be the Messiah. I imagine that as these questions built up, it just became that noise, and he just started to put his hands over his ears and shout, stop it! And he would become angry, and he would tell people, I don't want to hear it anymore. I imagine how many times he cut people off to say what he thought of their theories, and how the anger built up over time. And it was as Jesus was going into Jerusalem that last week when the brother said to him, what's the big deal? And they did not believe that he was the Messiah. But that was before the resurrection. Something changed on the other side of the resurrection. For in the book of Acts, chapter 1, where it's recorded how Jesus had met with his disciples, and he had appeared to them many times in many ways over a period of time, and now he was ascending back up into heaven. And it's interesting to note who was there at that moment. Following Jesus' ascension into heaven, those who were present left on the Mount of Olives. It says they returned to Jerusalem, and they went to that same upper room where they'd been staying. And they waited for the Holy Spirit to be released. As Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. When he does, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so in the meantime, it says they were all waited. It was about 10 days. That says they were waiting, continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, Jesus' mother. And look at who else was present. His brothers. Andy Stanley says one of the greatest evidences of Jesus being God was the faith of his brother James. And he said it kind of lighthearted, what would it take for you to believe your brother was the Son of God? But here he was on the other side among the believers praying. Paul said of James, Peter, and John, he says, They were the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. And he said when he went, following his conversion, went to Jerusalem, he said, I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So James isn't mentioned as an apostle, but Paul called him an apostle. But I imagine this. When I look through the lens of his eyes and hear those words, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Do you hear some regret there? How many times he covered his ears, how many times he shouted down people, how many times he didn't want to listen. And now he says, you know what? I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd listened. I wish I hadn't let the anger horse out or the speaking horse. I wish I had listened. How he wished instead he had listened and not reacted so angrily at the rumors, because now he saw so clearly, didn't he, that he was simply James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't play the brother card, but he knew who Jesus was, finally. What happens when the listening horse is the first one out of the gate and the other two remain in the stable? How would it have changed James' life? Now, ultimately, I think he would have been where he was. But when you look back, like I can see moments of regret that weren't necessary if I'd been quick to listen instead of speaking or becoming angry. How would it have changed James' life? He would have had fewer regrets. How could it change yours? You probably have some stories, some memories like I do, like James did. What does quick to listen look like after all? How about our relationship with God? I mean, when we think healthy relationships, be quick to listen, why not apply it to God? It's easy to vent anger at God. God, it's not fair. Why do I deserve? I how could you? How could you not? It's so easy to come to God with anger and start spewing words. What does quick to listen look like? How would that transform a relationship with God? God, I don't understand why. Would you give me insight? Open up the Bible and look for understanding. Wisdom, seeking wisdom as though it were precious jewels. God, be quick to listen to God. How about parents? How would it change your role as a parent? I know as a parent, the most painful thing is to see my sin and my shortcomings being lived out in my kids. And when you see that, you react not just to them, you react to yourself and the frustration and the anger. Please know. I remember, as I've told the story before, there was a mom when I taught algebra. She just wanted her daughter to get an education. She didn't want her, like she did, to end up pregnant, drop out of school, and as she said, and have to wipe butts for a living. That's what she had to do for a job. And yet her daughter would not listen to her mother. But parents, and so it may be kids listening to parents, tell me why. I feel like you're trying to control me, but I believe that you love me. So can you explain why this issue is so important to you, or why you seem angry with me? Parents, listening to stories, giving kids time to express. Those little 4-year-old stories become 10-year-old stories, become teenage stories. And we earn the right in an early stage. There may be some stories from prom last night that need to be told. And when we're quick to listen and slow to judge, the stories can be told. How about marriage? It's so hard when conflict seems to be so unfairly directed at you. It's hard to not let the anger horse out of the gate, isn't it? That's not fair. I don't deserve this. We sidestep that and say, please, tell me more. Co-workers. In some circles, you can pick out the boss by the one who talks the most. Do you know why? Because the boss has the right to talk. The boss carries a lot of rights, and yet the responsibility is greater than the right. To be a boss who speaks the least is my goal. To ask the question, what do you think? Because the boss always has the right to say what he or she thinks. The boss has the right to make a decision, but has the responsibility instead to be slow to speak, quick to listen. This last week, we were in the teaching team meeting, and a question came up, and I had already thought about it, and I knew what I wanted to do, but maybe because I had this message in my mind, or maybe as the Holy Spirit, I said, hey, what do you think we should do? And when someone else shared an opinion, do you know what my conclusion was? I said, I like your idea better than mine, and that's what we're going to do. How many times that I've had to say, you know, I'm so sorry for interrupting. Sometimes it's because I'm afraid I'm going to forget what I was going to say. You know that feeling? Other times it's just being awkward, not knowing how to fit in conversations. But I've learned to say, I'm sorry for interrupting. I really do want to hear what you have to say. Please tell me. And when you're sincere, they will. Older people, do you want to know how to listen to a younger person? Ask them if their tattoo has a story. I've never asked that question and not seen someone's face light up and hear a really interesting story. Don't judge things you don't understand. Ask for understanding. Have a conversation. Grow. Young people, just because you ask someone, someone gives you your opinion, their opinion doesn't mean you're obligated to it. You know, a skill, something I prayed for my daughters, that they'd be able to share their opinions without fear or obligation. Share your thoughts without fear or obligation. At the same time, feel free to ask someone for their thoughts without taking on the responsibility to do what they say. Hey, what was the, how did you know that mom was the right person? Or someone that's not even your parent, go out for coffee. How did you decide this was the right time to get married? How about how did you decide your career? How did you navigate children? I remember when we had when our second daughter was on the way, I just couldn't fathom loving a second child as much as the first. So I remember his name was Dan Swingle. He worked for UPS. He had 5 kids. I thought, he qualifies. I'm going to ask him, Dan, how did you ever love the other ones as much as the first? And he laughed. He said, I don't know. You just do. They gave me the confidence that I needed. I didn't worry about it anymore. You know, political discussions don't have to be divisive. Is that news to anybody? This last political season was awful, wasn't it? But I'll tell you, even though it was the worst ever, it's only second place to the next one. The next one's going to be worse. One of the things that I did that I was glad that I saw my high school friends posting things online on Facebook. I didn't agree with everything, obviously. But you know what? I just gave up the thought of ever changing anybody's mind. I thought, tell me why you think that way. Tell me why you support that candidate. Tell me what you think. And they did, and when they were convinced I wasn't going to judge, they told me, and I gained insight and understanding. I didn't agree, but I was able to look at life through a different set of lenses. See, you and I, we need to be shockproof. We need to be shockproof. Be shockproof when your kids tell you what they did. Be shockproof when your friends tell you who they are. Be shockproof when someone says where they went. And be shockproof when you think you see someone doing something that you didn't expect. You see, when you and I are shockproof, people will talk. And people need to be able to talk to find healing. You and I need to be able to talk to find healing. When we don't feel we have a safe place, we bottle it up, and you know what? It's going to come spewing out. And when I see people spewing it out, sometimes people tell me things about myself that I had no idea that they could have gotten those ideas from. But yet that's the mirror thing again. We reflect. But be that place where secrets are safe. Be like that teddy bear. No matter what the teddy bear is told, the expression doesn't change. It's just as cuddly, it's just as loving, it's just as faithful. I heard a story where this verse could have made a big difference. The lady's name is Holly Christine Hayes, and she was on a podcast, The Happy Hour, with Jamie Ivey. Any of you ever hear of that podcast? It's episode 185, if you want to hear her whole story. But it was a heartbreaking story that had a happy ending. The ending, the turn, came when she was on the floor of a public restroom crying out to God, a God that she never thought she would reach out to because of her experience with his followers. She grew up far from God. She grew up in an atheistic intellectual family, and yet when her parents divorced at 14, her life took a big change of direction. She says that, by 15, I was drinking every day. I was using drugs every day. I dropped out of school at 16. I had my first abortion at 16. And by 19, she said she'd had three. And before she found Jesus, she had had five. It was her first abortion that really got my attention. It was when she was going in, she says, I was addicted to crystal meth. I knew it was a drug baby. I was so desperate. I was so desperate for a normal life, and I didn't know of any other options. So my dad took me to the abortion clinic, and when I walked in, past this line of protesters with signs, and they were shouting, and they were so angry that they were just telling me that I was killing my baby, and they kept trying to hand me plastic fetuses, and I just didn't understand. I went inside, and I was just so sure that I was doing the right thing because I didn't know of any other options, and she said the experience was so traumatic. She said, I threw up, and they told me, don't worry. Everyone throws up the first time, but it won't happen again. She said, going in, I was 100% sure that this was the right decision. But then she said, your body's ripped apart. There's physical pain. There's emotional pain that you didn't expect. And then there are hormonal changes as well. And she said, there were spiritual changes that affected me. And all of this, she said, every time, all five times when I walked out of the abortion clinic, she says, I was wrecked. A thought occurred to me. Maybe it's occurred to you. When she walked out and she was alone, and she said, one time, I was so alone, I was in a relationship with an abusive boyfriend, and I had no money because I gave all my money for the abortion. I had no money. I had no ride. I didn't have anyone or anything to go home to. I was just emotionally destroyed. And I thought, that's where those people should have been. Instead of with the signs, they could have been there with a hug. And then she said it. She said it, you know what? She said, if just one person had met me outside the clinic with a hug and said, we love you. You just committed murder, but we still care for you. These were her words. What do you need? Do you need a ride? Do you need a meal? Do you need a listening ear? Do you need help out of an abusive relationship? What do you need? I'll help. She said, if just one person had been there on the backside, she said, I don't think I would have had abortions number 2, 3, 4, or 5. She said, people don't know it's murder until they have the Holy Spirit inside. What we need to do is look for people who are hurting, hear their stories, come alongside. That's the story CareNet wants to step in and change. We're so grateful that we can have CareNet as a strategic partner, and every year for Mother's Day, they have a walk. It's a fundraiser, but it's also an opportunity for us to get out in the community and show what we're for. If you want to be a part of this, we have a table out in the lobby. You can get more information. But CareNet is an organization that wants to come alongside and provide that love and that support. You see, listening leads to understanding. Understanding is the goal, but you don't stop with understanding, because deeper understanding leads to an ability to find appropriate action. And the follow-up is critical, because when you listen and someone pours out their heart, you just don't go on your way. It's your next interaction that tells them what you really think of them and their story. You see, genuine concern is when we're willing to put our own needs aside, when we're willing to put our own needs aside and not have our own needs met, and to give ourselves in service for others so that their needs can be understood and met. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinions. It's so easy, isn't it, to let the speaking horse out of the gate and to feel like we've got that right. It's so easy to feel like the anger horse is the one we should ride, because after all, God hates sin. But what did we see Jesus do most of all? Jesus listened. He came alongside. He loved. And it was that changed the life of people. So, how do we do it? Well, first of all, let's divert our anger away from the people that we don't understand. You see, we're very likely to be angry with people that we don't understand. So divert our anger away from the person speaking. And I'm more likely to be angry at someone I don't understand. So ask stories, listen. One of my high school friends came back later and thought he had offended me over a political discussion that he had shared. I didn't say anything at the time, but when he said that, I said, "Oh, Paul," I said, "if I only saw what you saw, I would probably think what you think. But you know what? This is where you and I have an opportunity to make a difference. You know what our culture says? Our culture says what a person has experienced determines their reality. What you have seen and what you have experienced is your reality. What I have seen and what I've experienced is mine. But here's what I think makes the difference. Instead of listening, and I think some of us are afraid of listening because we don't want to condone points of view that are different from what Jesus would do. But here's what you and I do. We have the opportunity to do when we listen. We have an opportunity to say, you know what? I think there's another way to look at this. There's another way to look at life. Peter said it this way, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord and be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have when you're asked. When you're asked. So you can come alongside someone who's afraid of being judged and you can say, you know what, I think if I had your experiences, I might very well think what you think. I said, but can I suggest that there may be another way to look at life? And that's when you look at through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Secondly, is be helpful when you speak. When it's time to ride the speaking horse, be helpful. Now, that's next week's message, so I'm not going to say anything else there. But third, people will ask if they want to know what you think. So wait. Don't be in a hurry. Make sure that they've been heard, that they feel understood. And wait. You see, as the body of Christ, we get to represent Jesus. But at the same time, I don't want to give the impression that people who are hurting like this are people outside the room, because those are pains that you and I have experienced ourselves. Wherever we are, we've got to be able to have that safe place where what's true about me can be acknowledged and admitted, and we can walk together in a relationship. Do you know why the Bible says God created the church? Created the church so that we can encourage one another to love and obedience, to love and good deeds. Encourage one another. All the more, it says, as you see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the return of Jesus and the second coming, the more we want to encourage one another to be that safe place. Because when people feel understood, then they find healing. And so we've had three ingredients so far in our secret sauce. We've looked at service. We've looked at humility. And now we've looked at genuine concern that is born out of a willingness and a desire to be quick to listen.